As we prepare our hearts to hear the reading of God's word, let us join together in prayer. God of all who doubt and believe, by the gift of your Spirit, enable us to hear with our ears, to see with our eyes, and to touch with our hands your word of life, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Psalms in Psalm 133. This is a song of ascents giving praise to God for the community that we have and the unity. Let us listen to the word of our Lord together. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. The word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Today, we will begin a lectionary journey through the letter of John. Although it's referred to as a letter, it lacks the standard opening and closing that we often see with a letter. At the time that the letter was written, certain people were teaching that Jesus was never human. They explained that Jesus was only a spiritual being that appeared human. And so John wrote this letter to urge Christian readers to stay with what they had heard from the beginning about their faith. And this means believing in the identity of the physical human Jesus. Today we begin with reading chapter 1 and a couple verses in chapter 2. Let us listen to God's word together. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is the light and is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, Easter is a week behind us. The alleluias, though, still ring in our ears. The joy of resurrection has been proclaimed through colorful tulips and beloved hymns, beautiful music, and maybe even a few leftover chocolate eggs and ham sandwiches. We have heard with our ears and seen with our eyes the celebration of the empty tomb and a world forever changed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And at the same time, however, our ears ring with the world's same old bad news. The joy of resurrection is flattened by political wrangling and the ongoing reality of home foreclosures and fruitless job searches, by despair and injustice, and hearts broken open with jagged edges of grief? Is it not tempting to shut our eyes and our ears, to close our hands and fists of denial, and to ignore these earthly realities? Don't we wish, at least for a moment, that the shining, bright holiness of a resurrected Christ would blind our eyes to the stains of this fleshy, painful world? Most difficult to experience is our own sinfulness that disrupts our relationship with God and even one another. We might like to pretend that we are always holy and faithful to the one who died for our sins, but the reality is that we truly are not. And yet, Easter comes to us even when we truly don't feel like we've earned Easter. And now that we walk in the light of a resurrected Jesus, it would be nice to just ignore our own sin and all the worldly sin around us. But the truth is, we can't. John's letter confronts the reality of sinfulness in the lives of those who believe in Jesus. These people say they know Jesus, but they live as they do not. They say that they are in the light, but their actions suggest otherwise. They claim that they have no sin, but their claim is a lie. In short, they talk the talk, but do not walk the walk. And now they are listening to others around them, telling them untruths about Jesus, and there's a part of them that thinks the truth that is being told to them might be true. The allure of innovative thinking is so appealing to the point that they are willing to forget what they have learned to be true about Jesus Christ. Christians who worship a Savior who is called the light of the world still carry around dark things, dark thoughts, dark words, dark emotions, dark actions, dark omissions. It would be easy to hear this passage and believe that John was just writing to those people. You know, the ones around us who sin often, seem to do it well, and don't seem to be bothered by it. We know those people. Maybe we shake our heads at those people. We thank God that we are not those people. But John isn't writing to those people. He is writing to us. The truth is, we are all those people. We can look right in our own lives and find some good old sin brewing. We love to tell others when they have done something wrong. Say anything about someone else so the focus is deflected from our own lives, our own sinfulness. Think for a moment about walking into a room with the lights on. Where would the darkest spot be? Well, it will always be the farthest distance away from the light source, or it will be a shadow, a dark place that is hidden from the light. And when we sin, we remain in the dark spot of life and away from Jesus, who is the light of the world. And we cannot have an authentic relationship with our Lord and Savior in the darkness of sin. But it's not only our relationship with God that is affected by our sinful nature. It also affects our community with one another. We separate from those we feel have sinned. We point out the sinful nature of those people, yet ignore so many times our own sinful nature. We have difficulty forgiving those who have sinned against us. And so we watch as sin makes our relationships with one another messy and at times hurtful. The evidence we are in the light is in our mutual relationships, that is, in our fellowship with and our love for one another. If we are in the light, then the community becomes a kind of real evidence. If we sin, that too is manifested in community. What happens in the body matters, whether it is the public body or individual bodies. When we fall short of thinking and feeling and acting in ways that reflect the perfection of God, we're like darkness in a lit room, far from God, hiding from God. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. For John, this is the fundamental message of the gospel. In sending Jesus, God has brought light into the world, and in him we see the world as it was intended to be. We see ourselves as God intended us to be. So we do not need to deny that we are sinners. God is fully aware of our sinful nature. And yet we find healing in the promise of forgiveness when we confess our sins to God. We are promised a cleansing from our unrighteousness when we confess. And so this is one reason that we provide a place in our service for confession, both public and private. We believe that when we confess our sins, we remove all barriers that may keep us from truly worshiping God. We need an opportunity to confess because that confession testifies to the truth that God will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It opens our lives up to the cleansing of our actions, to new ways of being and doing. Confession creates a new relationship. And confession also restores our relationship with other Christians. Coming out of the darkness and into the light grants us fellowship with one another. Confession places us back on the common ground of our identity in Christ as his co-followers, not as his co-offenders. And relationship with other believers can not only be the end of confession, but it can also be the means as well. James chapter 5, verse 16 says to confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Confession will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not cleanse in the past tense, but cleanse in the present tense. An assumed ongoing activity. It's how dark things close their distance from the light. It's how they come out of hiding. Confession creates a clean relationship. This does not mean that we must be perfect before we can have fellowship with God. I mean, if that were the case, all of us would be shut out. But it does mean that we must spend our whole lives in the awareness of our obligations. It means that we spend our whole lives in the effort to fulfill them and in penitence when we fail. And it will mean that we must never think that our sin does not matter. But the good news is, and what John expresses at the beginning of this letter, is that God invites us into fellowship, into relationship. God does not invite just me or you, but God invites all the community and all into community with God and with one another. Because if I walk alone, then I walk in darkness. But when we walk together with God, we walk in a light of joy and fellowship. Now, for many of you, these are basic things we know about our Christian faith, but in some respect, it's always good to go back to the foundation of what we believe. And today we are reminded of the grace of fellowship and the opportunity to remember the faith of those early followers who left a legacy of proclamation. They witnessed the presence of Christ who is present with us still. And even so, John also points out that there were mistakes made, that those that knew of Christ's light at times chose to listen to the untruths from other people that maybe sounded innovative to them. Our passage this morning from the first letter of John reminds us again that God's church, this church, is called to walk towards the light, confessing our sins and trusting that the resurrected Christ will lead us out of the darkness. That is what Easter continues to mean for all of us. Alleluia. Amen. Please join with me in our hymn of praise as we sing in the bulb, There Is a Flower. Please stand if you are able.